Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Nicole Parton. A wealthy landscaper accused of murdering his wife appeared in court with a big smile despite the serious charge against him. Barry Morphew, 57, beamed at one of his two daughters as he entered the Alamosa County Court in Colorado on Tuesday evening, where he faced allegations of killing his wife, Suzanne, in Salida in May 2020.
We would anticipate, expect, and ask the court to appoint the Office of the Alternate Defense Counsel.
We're prepared to set trial at any time, but of course we've just given them multiple terabytes of discovery.
His daughters, Mallory and Macy, have stood by him since he was first charged with Suzanne's murder in 2021, but the absence of one daughter during the court appearance has raised questions about her belief in his innocence. Morphew was taken back into custody in Arizona on June 20 after prosecutors uncovered compelling new evidence. His court appearance on Tuesday was a brief procedural session, resulting in a $3 million bond and a scheduled bail hearing in September. An indictment revealed that Suzanne had a powerful animal tranquilizer, BAM, in her system at the time of her death. The document stated that the only person in Colorado who had a prescription for BAM was her husband. During a police investigation shortly after her disappearance, a tranquilizer needle cap, darts, and gun were discovered in their home. Barry had used BAM for deer hunting in Indiana before the family moved to Colorado in 2018, where they were reportedly struggling with marital issues. Suzanne was involved in an affair with an old schoolmate, Jeff Lieblier, at the time of her disappearance. The couple lived in an impressive $1.5 million cabin, along with their daughter Macy, who was away on a trip when Suzanne vanished. Authorities believe Barry exploited Macy's absence to murder Suzanne on May 9, 2020, just before her disappearance was reported. Initially charged with his wife's murder in 2021 without her body being found, the case fell apart due to prosecution's misconduct. However, after Suzanne's remains were discovered in a remote area in September 2023, a new team of prosecutors reignited the investigation. Evidence revealed that Suzanne did not die at the location where her body was found, as forensic experts noted the lack of animal activity and decomposition. The charging documents did not specify where investigators believe she was killed or where her body was hidden before being discovered. While the cause of death remains undetermined due to the decomp, a coroner's report identified BAM in Suzanne's system. She was reported missing by a neighbor on Mother's Day 2020 after her daughters failed to reach her. In her last message to Barry on May 6, she expressed her desire to end their marriage. Barry claimed he left for work on May 10, saying Suzanne was asleep at the home, but investigators insist she had been dead for several hours by then. Suspicion grew as Barry's phone activity raised red flags and as his alibi regarding work was questioned. He claimed to have been on a landscaping job but spent most of the time in a hotel room where cleaners noted a strong chlorine smell. After Suzanne's disappearance was reported, Barry asked a neighbor to check on her and later requested that they call the sheriff when they found her missing. In police interviews, Barry portrayed their marriage as happy, but investigators later discovered evidence of Suzanne's affair and allegations of Barry's violent behavior. The reach for Suzanne gained national media attention, and Barry made a public plea for information regarding her whereabouts. However, during police questioning, officers noticed scratches on his arms and hands. A search of their home revealed a live bullet near Suzanne's bed and a tranquilizer needle cap in the laundry. Barry admitted to using the tranquilizer gun for hunting deer, but claimed he had no idea about the needle cap. Suzanne's daughters have not publicly commented on the situation, while Suzanne's family has condemned Barry for his alleged actions and expressed concerns for Suzanne's safety before her death. A friend of Suzanne's reported that she had confided in her that Barry was abusive. More crime and justice news after this.
A South Carolina father's raw, unyielding rage against a convicted child molester has exploded into a real-life vigilante saga, culminating in a shocking jailhouse confession. Nicholas Stanley, 38, is now charged with murder after allegedly tracking down and executing 42-year-old James Thompson, a man who he says destroyed his family by molesting a relative. Here's part of Stanley's interview with ABC 57.
And now I'm going to get more time putting this piece of trash out than he ever got for hurting my family and the ones that I love.
Stanley also said, quote, "I'm tired of pretending like I did something wrong. I don't feel like I did anything wrong, and there are thousands of people out there who agree with me," end quote. The events began to unfold after James Thompson, a registered sex offender convicted in 2019 for molesting Stanley's then 6-year-old relative, was released on parole in June after serving only 5 years. Authorities allege that just days later, a furious Nicholas Stanley confronted Thompson at his home in Greenville. Armed with a legally owned 9mm handgun, Stanley allegedly opened fire, shooting Thompson multiple times. Thompson was pronounced dead at the scene, and Stanley was arrested hours later following a brief manhunt. Stanley's attorney, Michael Reed, is not denying the confession, but instead argues his client acted under extreme emotional distress, citing the profound trauma inflicted upon his family. He contends Stanley is not a cold-blooded killer, but a father driven to desperation. The Greenville County Sheriff's Office confirmed Thompson's prior conviction, adding a layer of complexity by noting he was compliant with parole conditions at the time of his death. Nicholas Stanley now faces the daunting prospect of life in prison if convicted. Stanley told ABC 57 he is going to miss watching his children grow up, but, quote, "I don't regret protecting my family," end quote. His bail was denied at a July 2nd hearing. A preliminary trial is set for August 1st.
I'm Drew Nelson. California begins requiring bars and nightclubs to offer drink lids to customers as part of a new law meant to stop drink spiking across the state. Assembly Bill 2375 took effect on the 1st. It requires venues with a Type 48 liquor license, which serve alcohol but not food, to provide drink lids on request. The rule also requires signs that say, quote, "Don't get roofied, drink lids, and drink spiking drug test kits available here. Ask a staff member for details." Bars can charge what's described as a reasonable price for the lids. They only need to stock one size that fits at least one type of drink container. Jeff Kiama is owner of Sidepiece Bar. He tells KFMB they're still feeling out the new law.
I don't think we'd have the ability to put a lid on all of our custom glassware, but we'd probably find an option where we have, you know, a separate set of cups that we'd be able to put lids and maybe pour their drink into.
In 2022, a survey found 18% of people reported having a drink spiked. A 2016 study found 8% of U.S. college students believe they had been drugged, and many of these cases go unreported.
People are likely to kind of be, you know, a little careless and leave their drinks sitting around. That leaves them open for predators, unfortunately.
San Diego Police Officer Colin Steinbrunner on KFMB.
It creates that barrier to that easy pill drop or drink pour that puts people in danger, puts people at risk.
Many bar owners say they support the new measure. At Mother Lode in West Hollywood, staff told the Los Angeles Times that adding lids was no big deal for them. An employee said, quote, "There weren't lids here before, and now they are. Not much has changed. It doesn't cost nothing." There's now a stack of lids on the bar, free to patrons. Jeannie at the Watering Hole in Claremont tells the TV station it's an easy fix.
"I agree with it. Provide the lids for the cups to prevent yourself from getting really injured or hurt by creeps."
The law is set to expire in January of 2027 unless lawmakers renew it. For now, the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control is in charge of enforcement. Inspectors will notify bars during routine visits if they do not follow the rules. There will be no special crackdowns for now, but bars that fail to comply could risk their liquor licenses. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Drew Nelson.
This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.